Inasmuch as it is the purpose of this series of studies to bring you into a close, intimate, personal relationship with the Holy Spirit, our study last Thursday night dealt with the person of the Holy Spirit, showing that from the Scriptures he has all of the characteristics of personality, referred to with the personal pronouns. And thus, it is not an it is not an essence, it is not just a force, but it is the person of the Holy Spirit. Tonight, we propose to show to you that he is the third person of the Godhead. But before we get into those scriptures, I would like to read to you the testimony of R.A. Torrey, who was the founder of the Bible Institute of Los Angeles, today commonly known as BIOLA. He was a associate of Dwight Moody. And in his book, The Baptism with the Holy Spirit, he recounts that he had been in the ministry for some years before he came to the place that he realized that he had no right to preach until he was definitely baptized with the Holy Spirit. He told a friend that he was never going to enter the pulpit again until he had been baptized with the Holy Spirit and knew it, or until God in some way had told him to go. He then shut himself in his study alone, and he spent the time continually on his knees asking God to baptize him with the Holy Spirit. He said that he had mapped out in his mind what would happen, but what I had mapped out in my mind did not happen. He said, I recall the exact spot where I was kneeling in prayer in my study. It was a very quiet moment, one of the most quiet moments I ever knew. Indeed, I think one reason I had to wait so long was because it took that long before my soul could get quiet before God. Then God simply said to me, not in an audible voice, but in my heart, it's yours. Now go preach. And I went and preached, and I have been a new minister from that day to this. I was then the pastor of a very obscure church, though I had taken 2 degrees at Yale and had studied at 2 German universities. But from that time, my field began to wonderfully enlarge until at last I had preached the gospel around the world and had seen hundreds of thousands converted to Christ. He recalls that sometime after that experience, while sitting in his room one day, that very same room, he does not remember what he was thinking about, but suddenly he was struck from his chair onto the floor, and he found himself shouting. He said that he was not brought up to shout and that it was not his temperament, but he shouted like the loudest shouting Methodist. He was shouting, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. He said that he could not stop. It was like some other power other than his own was moving his jaw. The experiences of R.A. Torrey and his recorded in the book, The Baptism of the Holy Spirit. As we look at the subject of the Trinity, or the triunity of God, we first of all recognize from the Scripture that it indeed is a mystery. 1 Timothy 3:16, Paul said, without controversy, or without argument, great is the mystery of godliness. For God was manifest in the flesh and justified in the Spirit. So God the Father, manifested in the flesh, Jesus Christ, justified in the Spirit. I have no intention of trying to explain to you the Godhead. It is beyond the boundaries of the human mind to understand the nature of the infinite God. There is one God, and yet he is manifested in three persons, that of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. G. Campbell Morgan declared, "The idea of one essence subsisting after a threefold manner and in a trinity of relationships finds nothing in the phenomena of nature upon which it can fasten as a sufficient symbol." We're always trying to sort of give some kind of a symbol by which we can then make an analogy to the Godhead. But as G. Campbell Morgan says, there just isn't any symbol that can tie what we understand with this Trinity or the triunity of God. Because it is a mystery, we cannot expect to reduce it to logical precepts. To our finite minds, it's a contradiction how you could have one God and yet three persons. Some have tried to say that it is the three masks that the one God wears. The denial of the Trinity always brings with it the denial of the deity of Jesus Christ and the personality of the Holy Spirit. Some have suggested that the Trinity is a mathematical absurdity. 1 + 1 + 1, they point out, equals 3. However, 1 × 1 × 1 = 1. So that mathematically you can't disprove the Godhead. Paul, speaking to the elders of the church at Ephesus in Acts chapter 20, beginning with verse 28, said, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you the overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." Notice the three there. The Holy Spirit has made you the overseers of the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For Paul said, "I know this, that after my departing, grievous wolves will enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch." So he is telling them that it is their duty to watch and to take heed over this charge that they were given by the Holy Spirit to feed the church of God. Now, the triunity or the Trinity of God is manifested in the Old Testament, not nearly as clearly as it is in the New. But in the Old Testament, we surely have indications, hints, and declarations of the three aspects of the Godhead. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning, God." The word translated God in Hebrew is Elohim. And Elohim is a plural in Hebrew. The singular for Hebrew is El. Plural is Elohim. Interesting that in the beginning God, the first mention of God would be a plural rather than a singular. Some seek to explain this plural, Elohim, as what they called the plural of majesty or the plural of emphasis. But that is only an excuse that has been offered to explain away the fact that Elohim is plural and is the name for God in Genesis 1. The other Hebrew word for Lord is Adonai, which also is a plural. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, we have the first mention of the Holy Spirit. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved over the face of the waters. So the first mention of the Holy Spirit right in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. And then when we get down to verse 26, and God said, or Elohim, the plural again, said, let us, plural pronoun, make man after our own likeness and image. And here, plural pronouns are used concerning God, which wipes out that concept of the plural of majesty. The scriptures teach us that all three persons of the Godhead were active in the creation. John chapter 1, beginning with verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. So John declares that Jesus was in the beginning with God, the Word, the eternal Word. And that He was with God, that He was God, and that all things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. Paul, writing in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, said, for by Him were all things created, the Him being Jesus, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. The Son in creation. But also in Psalm 33:6, we read about the part of the Holy Spirit in creation. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath or the ruach of His mouth. The word ruach in Hebrew is breath, wind, or spirit. So the translation of Psalm 33:6 could very well read, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and of course Jesus is the word of the Lord, were the heavens made, and all of the host of them by the spirit, breath, ruach, of His mouth. In Deuteronomy chapter 6:4, you have that which is called the Shema of the Hebrews. It is that which was chanted over and over and over again during their worship time at the temple, especially during the feast days. They would cry out over and over, Shema Yisrael Yahweh Elohim Echad Yahweh. And over, they would chant that. And that was the whole basis of the monotheistic Hebrew religion, the oneness of God. But in looking at the Shema, it is interesting that the Yahweh or Jehovah Elohim, again, the plural for God, Yahweh Elohim Echad, one Yahweh or one Jehovah. Israel, Jehovah, gods, plural, one Jehovah. Not only is it interesting that the Elohim plural is used, but the word Echad. For the word Echad in Hebrew is a compound unity. When God created Eve out of Adam, he said, "And the two shall be Echad, one flesh." A compound unity. There is another Hebrew word for one, which is an absolute one, and that's Yachad. And had in the Shema they declared, Yisrael Yahweh Elohim Yachad Yahweh, then you would have no basis to try to make an argument for the Trinity. But the fact that the Elohim is plural and the Echad is a compound unity, even within the monotheistic chant of the Hebrews, is the suggestion of the triunity of God. When Moses commanded Aaron how that they were to put the blessings of God upon the people, Numbers 6:24, they were to say, Yahweh bless thee and keep thee. Yahweh make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Yahweh lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Notice the threefold declaration of Yahweh. One Yahweh. But yet why would it be repeated three times? Yahweh bless thee and keep thee. Yahweh make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And Yahweh lift up his countenance on thee and give thee peace. And thus the Lord said, you will put my name, the name Yahweh, on the children of Israel, and I did bless them. This is the Trinity of the blessing in unity. We also find when Isaiah saw his vision of the Lord, high and lifted up, sitting on the throne, he heard the seraphim as they were saying, holy, holy, holy. Why three? Is the Lord of hosts, the threefold holiness. In the prophecy of the Messiah, in Isaiah 48:16, the Lord said, come ye near unto me, hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, there I am. And now the Lord God and his Spirit hath sent me. Notice, the Lord God and his Spirit hath sent me, Jesus, the Messiah. It is the Messiah speaking in verse 16, come ye near unto me, hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, there am I. In the beginning was the Word. And now the Lord God and his Spirit sent me. The Revised Version reads, the Lord God hath sent me and his Spirit. And that is more literal from the Hebrew.